There's a Rashi on the Choshen HaMishpat that really, when you read it, I guess probably honestly when we read it, we just kind of like skim through it. But when you dig down deep and you start asking questions, it does become a little bit more remarkable, which is one of those neutral words. It doesn't have to mean anything. It's remarkable, which means you could remark on it if you want. It's remarkable. Should we? Let's do it. Take a look if you have a Rashi in front of you. Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Lamed. Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Lamed. The context of the Pesukim is that you're supposed to make this thing called a Choshen. What is remarkable about the Choshen is that it's given unusual names. When we're told to make certain clothing for the Kohen Gadol, so they have names because you have to know what it's called. There's a me'il, there's an ephod. There's all kinds of names that things have. Did you notice that the Choshen has another name? Is it called the Choshen? You don't know? Does anybody know? Jason, you know? Where do we start talking about the Choshen? The first time we encounter it is Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Tesvav. Can you take a look? You have a chumash in front of you? Take a look. In Pasuk Tesvav, it says, Vasisa Choshen. You see it? David, you have it?
No.
Lamed, Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Tesvav. Right. This is Choshen what? Choshen Mishpat. Is that... What is that?
A family.
What?
A family.
A family? Choshen Mishpat. Just say Choshen. Make a Choshen. What's a Choshen, God? You know, they call it a breastplate in English. I don't speak English. We're still back here in times of the Torah. Okay, never mind, but...
Breastplate of
judgment? Judgment, right. That makes sense. Now we've got it. It's the breastplate of judgment. Because it sounds cooler than just a breastplate. Someone putting a plate on their chest anyway. What? So, do you wonder about that? Well, you will. By the time you're done with me, you will. What does it mean, a choshen ha-mishpat? Just call it a choshen. You with me, Moshe? That's a good question, no? Is the ephod called an ephod ha-mishpat? Is it the ephod ha-rachamim? How about the me'il? Okay, so there's obviously something going on. There's something extra to it. There's something else that it's accomplishing, doing something like that. It's not just what? How would you say that? It's
not just an accessory.
It's not just an accessory. Or maybe it is an accessory. It's not just clothing. Not just clothing, it's an accessory. You know? It's a headband, you know? It's like you don't need it. You get like a ponytail. Anyway...
No, but that's the thing.
Yes,
you do need it.
You do need it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll come back to that one second. The Torah gives us the dimensions. It's called it has turim. That means it has rows, columns. And you know how many there are?
Four.
You know what the Arba Turim is? What we call the predecessor to the Shulchan Aruch is called the Tur, but it's really called the Arba Turim because it has four sections to it. Arachayim. Choshen Mishpat, Evan Ezer, and Yeredeya. Shulchan Aruch, the terminology that we get, the Arba Turim, and the whole categorization comes from the Arba Turim of the Choshen. The Choshen had four columns. So, it talks about they all have to have stones, and there are a lot of details here. What word, by the way, is always used for making things? In other words, what word comes up probably more than any other word in this entire parsha? You want to take a guess? What word? It's not Vayomer.
Wearing clothing.
When you... What? Tur? Only by the Choshen. But in the entire parsha, there's one word, I don't know how many times it comes up, but it's a lot. If you just start perusing the psukim.
The sister?
V'asisa. Yeah, am I right? Yes. Why? Well, because that's what the whole parsha is about, and last week as well. V'asisa. So you're making all of these different things for the Chayshan. By the way, it's not always called the Chayshan HaMishpat. Sometimes it's simply referred to as the Chayshan. Like you've seen, for example, in Parsach of Dalav, Nasata Shtei Avoisai says, Aval Shtei Ataboiz al Kitzoiz HaChayshan. You have to make these rings because that's how it's going to attach to the Ephod. So it's called a Chayshan. Okay. Got all these rings and all these things. Now, if you have your Chumash in front of you, which you should, where do the instructions of the Asisa end? What pasuk do they end with? Do you see it there? Joseph, you have it, yeah?
What?
When the psukim are instructing the construction of the Choshen, where do the instructions seem to end? Where does the Asisa end? In other words, a lot of times when you're introducing something, the Aron is like a great example. The first thing that we're told about by the Mishkan. Build it, this is what it needs to look like. And then when Hashem is done with the instructions, He tells us what it's for. That's going to be a place where my Shekhinah will rest. We spoke about Hashem as Yoshev Kruvim, if you remember last week. And that's what I'm going to speak to you from. So that's not part of making it. That's okay, now that I've told you to make it, I want you to know what it's for. So I'll tell you what it's for. So here, maybe it's not as clear what it's for, but it does say in Pasuk Chaf Tes, "V'nasa Aharon es Shemos b'nei Yisrael b'choshen haMishpat alibo b'vo el haKodesh." He's going to wear it. So you'd expect at that point we're finished with the instructions how to make it. Fair enough. What's the next pasuk after it says, "Okay, I told you how to make it. I told you what to do. I told Aaron's going to wear it, and when he's going to wear it." And then what is the same Pasuk Lamed? David, you have it? Moshe, you have it?
Yeah.
What's the same Pasuk Lamed? After all the instructions are seemingly finished.
It says,
good, so what does it mean?
And give the rest of the judgment.
What's vinosata literally? Nesina, matana.
Into?
To give, right?
Yeah.
You know anyone named Nesano?
Yeah.
It means Hashem gives, right? So, what word did the Torah not use? It didn't use v'asisa. Did you notice that? Well, you did now. It didn't say you shall make. It said you shall
place.
Give or place. You shall put into the Choshen HaMishpat the Urim and the Tumim. Put into the Choshen, because I'm done with all the instructions, right? We finished all the instructions. I'm telling you Aaron is going to wear it. I'm telling you when he's going to wear it. Instructions are over. Oh, by the way, put into it the Urim and the Tumim. Well, is someone going to make it? You never told us to make it. What? And what is it anyway? Zach, you with me?
Yeah.
You guys have anything to say about that?
It's pretty strange.
Yeah. So I have two questions that I want to answer. What we've just described the Torah's presentation of the Choshen. It starts off talking about making it. It gives it a name that we're curious about. That's one question we want to answer. Why is it called a Choshen HaMishpat and not simply a Choshen? When it's finished with all the instructions, it tells us that Aaron is going to wear it, and where he's going to wear it, and when he's going to wear it. And then there's another instruction, but it never tells us to make the thing that apparently we're supposed to put in it. What is going on over here? So first things first, what does it mean, Choshen HaMishpat? Rashi in Pasuk Tesvav, he says, you know why it's called Choshen Mishpat? Shemechaper al kilkul adin. It atones for messed up judgment. It atones for kilkul, for messing up of din, of judgment. What's Rashi talking about? Every single one of the pieces of clothing, along with other things that were done in the Beis HaMikdash, served to atone for all kinds of problems that Klal Yisrael were involved in. Yeah? So, part of the Beis HaMikdash is a constant atonement for things that we're doing wrong. And that's one of the advantages of having Beis HaMikdash, is that it being there atones for a lot of things. That's Rashi's first pshat. Then he says, Davar Acher, another explanation, Mishpat, it means judgment in a sense, Shemavarer Devarav. It clarifies its words. What? The Choshen clarifies its words? What does that mean? V'havtachas ha'emes. And its promises are true. And then he says something in old French. Sh'amishpat mishamesh lo shalashayna. It's because mishpat can mean different things. Divrei tanos balei adin. Sometimes it means the things that the litigants claim in court. The gemar adin sometimes refers to the judgment that's finished. What was the decision of the court? For onesh adin, it also can mean the consequences. That was the judgment that they decided. Im onesh misa, onesh makas, onesh mamen, whatever it is. It's a punishment or financial consequences, whatever the consequences are. V'zemesh amesh lashon birur devarim. And this one is being used to mean the clarification of its words. Shemefarei shemevarer devarav. Because it explains and clarifies its words. You have any clue what Rashi is talking about? It's a very strange Rashi, right? But we all know from school when we were little that the Choshen wasn't just a Choshen, right? It wasn't just a piece of clothing, right? What else did the Choshen do? It would answer questions, right? That when the Melech, the Kohen Gadol would approach the Kohen Gadol and ask him, will we be successful when we go to war? Should we go to war? And it would respond. This is the original light bright. No? I don't want to call it a Ouija board, yeah, magic eight ball, right? This is the original. Okay, so Rashi has two explanations, Mishpat. One means, very simply, it atones for problems in judgment that the courts are involved in. Okay. Second Pshat in Rashi seems to relate to this idea that the Choshen HaMishpat actually spoke, and it would clarify what it was saying, and whatever it said was MS, and it delivers a judgment. The Choshen Mishpat is not just a piece of clothing, but it lights up, the letters light up, and it delivers a judgment, and the judgment is true, and it doesn't change, which is different than Nevuah. What did he just say? It's different than Nevuah. Why is it different than Nevuah? Yonah Navi comes along and he says, "Today's Nineveh Mapeches. Nineveh is going to be destroyed." Was Nineveh destroyed?
Yes.
No. Yonah the liar. What happened? They did Shuvah. And then it wasn't destroyed, remember?
No.
So what? What's the story? Navi said something, it didn't come true. What? Why is that okay? Because but even when it's a Nevuah, like it's going to be destroyed. But it's only going to be destroyed if you don't do Tshuva. Let me ask you a question. Guy walks in today at our room, and he says, "I have a Nevuah from Hashem." What are we supposed to do to find out if he's right or wrong? We're supposed to ask him for a sign, right? He's supposed to prove himself. So what kind of sign is he going to give?
Well, I'll give you the sign if you don't repent in the next 2 days. There's going to be an earthquake. It's going to destroy New York City. That will be the sign that I am a prophet.
And you say to him, "You're a false prophet. Kill him." Why? Because you can't have a sign that won't necessarily come true. That's not a sign. Because if people do tshuva, then the negative things won't happen. So what's a sign that proves a Navi right or wrong? The opposite. Not something negative, but something positive. Like what? Like tomorrow, it's going to rain. Something's going to happen. A prediction. Not something that's a punishment. Just a prediction of something that's positive that's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, he's a false prophet. Off with his head. But if it happens, now we got to start listening to this guy. We at least got to be wary. Maybe he's telling the truth. That's what we're supposed to do. So to test him with positive signs. The Urim V'Tumim. If it says you're going to go to war, you'll be defeated. So then what? You don't go to war. Because there's no such thing as the Urim V'Tumim saying something negative that can change. It's a very significant difference between Urim V'Tumim and Nevuah. Nevuah, a negative Nevuah, will not necessarily come true because we can do Tshuva. A negative prediction of the Urim V'Tumim comes true. Yeah? Question on Mishpat. Rashi writes, it's Mevarer Devarer, whatever it says becomes clarified, and Havtacha so emes. Whatever it says is true. Okay. So number one, why is it called the Choshen HaMishpat? Rashi gives two explanations. One is because it atones for bad judgment. And the second one is that it in and of itself has a judgment that it delivers to us. And it clarifies what that judgment is, and that judgment will come true. Next. What is going on with this Urim V'Tumim business at the end? There's an unbelievable Rashi here. This is the Rashi in Pasuk Lamed. Maybe you can follow along with me if you have it. You ready? Esa Urim V'Esa Tumim. What was our question? It doesn't say V'Asisa, the most popular word in this week's Parsha. If there was elections for student council in this week's Parsha, V'Asisa would win. The most votes. It is the most common word, I believe, in this week's Parsha. V'Asisa, V'Asisa, V'Asisa. But Urim V'Tumim doesn't say make it. It says, what word? V'Nosata, put it. Zok Rashi, Huksav She'ema Mefurash. Urim V'Tumim refers to a written name of Hashem called Shema Mefurash, the explicit name of Hashem, Shayanoisnoi B'Soich Kifle HaChoyshem, that you're supposed to put it, literally put it, in between the folds of the Choshen. The way the Choshen was constructed is it was a square, but it folded on itself. So inside the folds, that fold, you would put this name of Hashem. Sha'al Yadayu Meir Devarav. Through this Shema Mefirash, it lightens up its words. Umetame Mes Devarav. And it completes and perfects. It completes its words. So what does Rashi say the Urim V'Tumim is? Some sort of name of Hashem that was inserted into the fold of the Choshen. And that was what you call batteries. Shaila is, what type of battery was it? Was it Energizer? Or was it Duracell? Or a generic kind? Why? Because everyone knows the Energizer Bunny keeps on going. And the Duracell eventually died. What am I talking about? Rashi goes on to say, U'bemikdash sheni haya hachoshen. And in the second base on Mikdash, there was the Choshen! Energizer Bunny keeps on going. There was a Choshen! Do you have any idea why Rashi is saying this? Did you think there wasn't? Is there something in this pasuk that tells you there wasn't? This is a very strange Rashi. Why? Oh, we'll get to it right now. But what I'm bringing out is, why is Rashi saying this at all? Rashi and Chumash always explains things that are bothering us, right? There's nothing bothering us. We know we're supposed to make the Choshen. What's an Urim V'Tumim? Rashi's explaining. Urim V'Tumim, I got it. Because it doesn't say Vasisa, it says V'Nasata. So Rashi explains that, because that's the pshat. I got it, I'm good. What in the world's going on? Rashi needs to tell me a history lesson?
And also, why specifically that? There's like a lot of things that have been saying about it. Why say specifically this was there?
It doesn't say it about anything else, yeah. What is going on over here? Okay, well, let's read Rashi, and let's try to put this puzzle together. U'bamikdasheni haya hachayshen. In the second base of Mikdash, they had the Choshen. She'i evshalika and gadolias mechusar begadim. It's impossible for the Kohen Gadol to serve when he's missing one of his garments. How many does he have again?
Eight.
So he can't have, he can't be lacking one of them. If they didn't have the Choshen, he would be lacking one of his garments, and all of his avoda would be puzzle. B'chayv misa if he did avoda without it. Bad news. So he had to have it. Did somebody say he didn't? What in the world is going on over here? Avaloi say Hashem, but that name of Hashem, Lehaya B'soichoi, was not in it. B'soichoi.
It wasn't
in it
in the second
bit.
Got it. Where'd
it
go? Yeah, where'd it go? How did you get rid of
it? They didn't have it anymore. V'al Shem Oisaks, according to Rashi. By the name of that writing, who karui mishpat. And that's actually why it's called the Choshen Mishpat. Shenemar v'shaloi b'mishpat ha'urim. Because the Torah says you're going to ask the judgment of the Urim, not the judgment of the Choshen. Judgment of the Urim. Okay, let's understand what Rashi says and try to understand why he said this. So what Rashi says is that there are two names for the Choshen. What is it again? The Choshen Mishpat. And there's something else called Urim V'Tumim. According to Rashi, Urim V'Tumim is a name of Hashem that was inserted. According to Rashi, is the Urim V'Tumim part of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol?
No.
How do you know? Correct. So Rashi is pushing this agenda. Rashi wants us to know that the Urim V'Tumim is not one of the Shemona Begadim of the Kohen Gadol. Because if it were one of the eight garments, if it was part of the Choshen, an essential part of it, he would have been missing one of his clothing. And then he wouldn't be able to be the Kohen Gadol and serve in Beis HaMikdash. So says Rashi, the Urim V'Tumim is not part of the Begadim. Oh, this is lamdus. Mamash, mamash, lamdus. It's not, but use your thumb. It's not part of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. It's something else that was inserted. How do you know it from the psukim? Because what word does it not say by the Urim V'Tumim? Vasisa. It's not something that you make. It's not part of the clothing. It's vinasata. To put it in there. Who made it? I don't know. I guess Moshe Rabbeinu. I have no idea. Okay. And don't think for a minute, says Rashi, they didn't have it in second base HaMikdash. Why is Rashi saying that? Because there's a Gemara that says it. They didn't have the Urim V'Tumim. There says in the Gemara in Yuma, there were five things that they didn't have in the second base HaMikdash. The Aron, the Urim V'Tumim, Shechina, Hermanon. Yeah, that's actually also Rashi in a different place. Whatever. Okay, anyway, so there were things, five things they didn't have in the second Beis HaMikdash. One of them is Urim V'Tumim. Zuck to Rashi. Don't think for a minute they didn't have the Choshen. The Choshen they had. The Mishpat they didn't. Yeah?
So
Yishalo b'Mishpat HaUrim.
So was it able to do what it does?
No.
It was just there.
No more light bright. It was there because it's one of the Shmona Begadim. This is the Lamdus in this Rashi. There's Tzvei Dinim, as they say in Yiddish. There are two elements, two components to the Choshen. This Choshen Mishpat. The Choshen is one of the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol. If he doesn't have it, he can't serve. But the Mishpat, the Urim V'Tumim, the battery, was not there. They lost it, wasn't there. Whatever, I don't know. We don't know exactly what happened to it. But it wasn't there in the second Beis HaMikdash. That's what Rashi says. A fascinating thing. Why is Rashi so bothered by this that he has to say it here? Not 100% sure. But he wants us to know this, and this is very important. Okay, good. So now we know that the Choshen Mishpat has two names because it has two elements. One element is one of the clothing, the Shmona Begadim of the Kohen Gadol. The other element is in addition. Accessory is, I would say. But it's not necessary. So I have one question, and we're going to wrap it up with this. And this is the so what, by the way. How would you define the role of the Mishpat then? What is it? And I guess the bigger question is, well then why does the Kohen Gadol have it? In other words, the Kohen Gadol had to wear certain pieces of clothing. We can't really explain why. But the Torah says that this is all the different, they have different elements and do different things. Apparently, there's something called Urim V'Tumim and Choshen Mishpat, which has been superficially added to what's necessary to be a Kohen Gadol. You don't need Mishpat to be Kohen Gadol. So then why does he have it? What is it? And how did it get there? It's like Nevuah, but in a certain way it's even more powerful than Nevuah. How so? Havtacha so emes, said Rashi. Mishpat means it has a judgment that always comes true.
So I asked about thinking about the Babylon 1:10, and it gets it right. It gets it wrong, but then it's really right.
What? The Chayesh Mishpat can't be wrong. That's what's going to happen.
I'm thinking 7, it says 6, but I'm thinking 6. But I was thinking 7.
Wait, what?
I'm thinking 7, it says 6, but it's always right, but I'm thinking 7.
I'm not following. Say again.
If I say I'm thinking of between 1 and 10.
And you're trying to challenge Chayesh Mishpat to figure out the number you're thinking?
That's why you're not going to do the
Kohen Gadol. Yeah, you'll stick to Shechita, guys. But I want to share one more Rashi with you. You ready? Sometimes Rashi says things and you have to wonder why did he have to say that? Like in this week's parasha, like the one we just read. There's another one like that. When Moshe Rabbeinu is debating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Sneh, the burning bush, and Moshe Rabbeinu clearly does not want to be the one to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that his biggest concern is what? That's one. True. And when he finally, Hashem says, don't worry, Misam Pela Adam, who do you think makes people talk? Me! And Moshe Rabbeinu still says, send somebody else. Who's he referring to? Aaron, his brother. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has to respond, ay, 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 v'yichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Hashem's anger, so to speak, this display of anger, was expressed to Moshe. Vayomer, and Hashem said, Hale Aaron achicha halevi, Aaron, your brother, the Levi, yadati ki daber yadaber, who I know, he's got a good voice, he can speak, I got it, don't worry. V'gam hine hu yoytze likrasecha, he's also going to come to greet you, knowing that you're coming back to be the one to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. You're not stepping on his toes. What do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu says he's going to be insulted. He's been the Navi, the leader for Bnei Yisrael for years. I'm going to come in, the little brother who's been prince in the palace and have been in exile for some time and show up and say, hi guys, I'm here to take everybody out. A little short for a stormtrooper. V'racha v'samach b'libo. He will see you and he will be happy in his heart. Okay. Anything bother you about that? What?
Wait, how is he going to see you in his heart?
So, he can, but he'll see you coming. Apparently, he already knows why. So he sees you and he knows why you're coming back. You think he's going to be offended. V'samach b'libo. And he'll rejoice in his heart. He'll be genuinely happy for you. You won't feel that you stepped on his toes. He won't feel insulted. The contrary. He will be happy for you in his heart. And not with his twinkle toes. Is there somewhere else where you're happy other than your heart? V'samach b'mocho. He'll be happy in his brains.
Yeah, maybe he just won't be happy.
So when it says...
It's like pure happiness.
What?
It shows like pure happiness.
Yeah, it adds more happiness than if Buddha said v'samach
b'ra'acha. It adds more, it makes it more like wholesome.
And when there's a mitzvah to rejoice on Yantiv, and it says v'samachta b'libecha b'chagecha. V'samachta b'libecha b'chagecha, it would ruin the song. It doesn't say b'libecha or b'libecha. It just says v'samachta b'chagecha. So it means a low grade simcha. I'm so happy. I don't want you to be that happy. Chill out. Relax. Amalek asher karcha baderech. They cooled you off on the way. V'somachta b'chagecha. Shtickle happiness is all you really should. Don't get too carried away. What's v'somach b'libo in his heart? So I think Rashi's bothered by that word. And listen to Rashi's comment. V'ro'acha v'somach b'libo. He will see you and he'll be happy in his
heart.
Loi kisha'ata savur, not like you think, sheyehe makpid alecha, that he'll be particular with you, meaning he'll be makpid. You have no right to do that. You think that's how he's going to respond, you're wrong. Sheata oil gedula, that you're arising to greatness. No. And then Rashi adds a line. Now that's all Rashi needed to, I don't know that he even needed to say that, but okay. Then he adds umisham. From there, from this incident, Zacha Aaron merited la'adei ha'choshen, to the jewels of the choshen, hanasun al ha, that's placed on the lev, on the heart. So what did Rashi just do to us? When Aaron experienced genuine simcha, for the new leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu that until then was in the hands of Aaron, The simcha that he felt in his heart for Moshe Rabbeinu enabled him. He merited what? Well, Rashi adds one word, the adei hachoshen, which is interesting, the jewels of the choshen, al libo, on his heart. What's the obvious question? And what if Aaron hadn't been happy for Moshe? There wouldn't have been a choshen?
How would the ephod have stayed up?
You know, like firemen, like how do they keep their pants up if they don't have suspenders? The choshen was what connected the ephod. You wouldn't have had the choshen. There would have been 7 begadim for the Kohen Gadol. You answer this question. What's the pshat? Come on. What's your answer? Okay, that's one possibility. Okay. What role does the Kohen's Choshen not need to have? What can he do without?
What can he do without it?
What can the Kohen Gadol do without in his Shmona Begadim? What's unnecessary in the Kohen Gadol's Shmona Begadim? What did we spend the whole morning talking about? Not the Choshen, but the Mishpat, the Urim V'Tumim. What does the Urim V'Tumim add to the Choshen? It adds this element of Nevuah, right? It adds the Mishpat, this element of Nevuah. Is Aaron happy for Moshe's leadership, Nevuah, connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to take them out of Mitzrayim? Yes!
Oh,
in other words, the simcha of Aaron. What's he trying to get it out of you? What's he happy about? He's not makbid, says Rashi, that Moshe Rabbeinu is olal gedula, that he's the Navi to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Hashem sent him, not going on his own. He's the Navi Hashem. So the simcha of Aaron, Aaron was a Navi, right? You know this? He was a Navi. That's how he knew all of this. That's how he knew Moshe Rabbeinu was coming back to take Bnei Yisrael to Mitzrayim. Because he was a Navi. See, he understood what was going on. And he's going to be happy for your Nevuah. So from there, what was he zoche to? That from then on, he's the first Kohen Gadol. That every single Kohen Gadol after that, as long as the Urim V'Tumim is around, will be zoche to something higher than Nevuah. The Choshen Mishpat. Why did Rashi have to say, Baruch HaVasamach B'Libo? You'll be happy in your heart. Torah needs to say in your heart, where else are you going to be happy? Rashi says, this is alluding to something that we're going to come back to later. Later on, you're going to see that there's going to be something called Choshen Mishpat. And you're going to say to yourself, why is it called a Choshen Mishpat? Just call it a Choshen. And then you're going to find, it says, Venasata, not make it, but there's going to be something additional to the Choshen called the Urim V'Tumim that's going to enable it to function as a Choshen Mishpat. And you're going to say to yourselves, why am I not listening to Rabbi Berman? Why am I on my phone? And then you're going to realize it's because you're addicted to your stupid phones. But then, when you put them away, Rashi's saying, all of this goes back to the simcha of Aaron from Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. It never should have been part of the Kohen Gadol's Shmona Begadim. He doesn't have to be a Navi. A Kohen Gadol doesn't have to have prophecy. It's not necessary whatsoever. How did it get there? So what's the answer? Yeruach v'samach b'libo. That when Aaron saw Moshe Rabbeinu was coming to be the Navi, to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and he felt genuine simcha for him. Genuine simcha, which is not pashut. That's hard, but he really did. Even though it meant he was going to take a back seat in his leadership, but when he saw that and he was happy, he was zoche not to the choshen, but to the role that it had as choshen mishpat, to the nevuah that his children would now have for the rest of history, as long as the Urim V'Tumim is around. It was additional. It was extra, as David said. It was an accessory. It was additional to the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. So let's just wrap it all up. Just go over what we said. Again, a very boring topic. The clothing of the Kohen Gadol. There's something called a choshen. Why is it called a choshen? Mishba Rashi has to pshatim, because it atones for judgment, or because it actually has a judgment that it makes in and of itself. Rashi then goes on to say in Pasuk Lamed, don't think they didn't. Well, we pointed out, it says v'asisa, or in Bitum, it says v'nasata. Why not v'asisa? Because you don't make it. It's not part of the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. The Urim Bitumim allows it to function as an oracle. That's additional. So where does it come from, and why is that part of the Kohen? Well, where did that come from? And the answer is, says Rashi, the way that we explained it today, because Rashi just says, Adei HaChoshen, the jewels of the Choshen. I could give another pshat to that, which is the Rambam and others may learn Urim Vitumim refers to the jewels themselves. And that might fit better into that Rashi, but then it wouldn't fit well into this Rashi, so we'd have to work it out. But, point is, the Rashi is saying, seemingly, the Kohen Gadol was Zoche to Nevuah, that's stronger than Nevuah, because whatever it says comes true, because of the Simcha that Aaron had, that Moshe Rabbeinu would be the Navi to take Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim. Pretty cool, huh?